Tom Woods Show, episode 1645.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you're considering homeschooling, you know I recommend the self-taught Ron Paul curriculum, for which I created 400 videos. It's an excellent education in all the standard subjects, plus personal finance for teens, how to be an effective public speaker, how to run a home business, the kinds of things nobody teaches, but they darn well should. Not to mention, it's self-taught, so you get your sanity back as a parent. Make sure you join at my special link, because only there do you get my $160 worth of free bonuses you can't get anywhere else. Check it out at ronpaulhomeschool.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I am delighted to be joined once again by Sheriff Richard Mack, who is former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona. He also is founder and president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And I'm going to actually have him talk to you about how he came into prominence, because it's an interesting story. And I thought I would talk to him just because he really has a pulse on what's going on with the nation's sheriffs because of his role in the CSPOA, and just see what's happening and whether the sheriffs have the right to do what they're doing in some cases, saying that they won't enforce certain orders pertaining to the pandemic. Sheriff Mack, welcome back.
Hey, Tom, it's really good to be back home with you. Thanks for having me again.
It's been a long time, but doggone it, if this isn't the time to talk to you, I don't know what is, especially given what's going on with sheriffs around the country that I'm hearing about through isolated headlines, but I'm sure you, as, well, Sheriff Mack, and also with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, you would tend to know and what's going on, have a pulse on it. And I would not be surprised if you knew some of these sheriffs personally. So first, let's start with this. I'd like you to refresh my audience's memory. I know some folks know you all the way back from the days of the Ron Paul presidential campaigns. That's where a lot of people got to learn about some of the people in the liberty movement who predated the Ron Paul presidential campaigns. But we got to know each other because of that. But you'd been out there quite a number of years before that, making a name for yourself. What is the number one thing that Sheriff Mack is known for, let's say, to be a little dramatic about it, in U.S. history? Well, what is it that you're known for?
Well, that's a real good question, and it's a very appropriate one, because you and I would have never met, and we wouldn't be having this talk right now if I hadn't sued the Clinton administration in 1994. I was the first sheriff in American history to start a lawsuit against the federal government, take it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and win a major landmark decision on the issue of the 10th Amendment, state sovereignty, and local autonomy. This is the only time in history where a sheriff has ever sued the federal government and won. And I will add to that, luckily for me, and thank God, six or seven other sheriffs joined the lawsuit from across the country, and Sheriff Prince from Montana and I ended up at the Supreme Court in December of 1996. And then Justice Scalia wrote the decision and rendered that decision June 27, 1997. And might I add, Tom, there's not a single person in this country who should not look into this case, read and study this case, and find out why it was hidden from the public and why it is so powerful and meaningful to the cause of liberty today.
I'm going to make sure, as usual, that on the show notes page, I have all the episodes I've done with you before. I always have the guests' previous appearances. So I'm going to link people to when you've talked about this in detail. That's tomwoods.com/1645. So you took them on basically, what, from a 10th Amendment standpoint?
It was on the Brady Bill, and the Brady Bill was a bunch of gun control. And the law, supposed law, the pretended law, actually commandeered the office of sheriffs across the country for federal bidding, literally conscripting us to enforce federal law without any negotiation or contract, and with, believe this or not, it's absolutely true, a threat of arrest if we fail to comply. And every sheriff in our state, both Democrat and Republican, was just livid over that part. And I even told the BATF, when they sent three agents to give us our marching orders, they gave us a document and gave us our marching orders, I told them, you know what? do you guys not know that we don't work for you? You can't fire me. You can't hire me. And you can't pass this law. Oh, yeah, Congress passed it. It's all good. It's all solid. Well, I don't care if you pass 500 laws, I told them. You cannot pretend that I work for you. And the legislation is meaningless. We all should just tell you no and get out of here. But no other sheriff really wanted to take that kind of a stand. They're not as radical as I am and Ron Paul, you know, and that bunch. And so I drove home from that meeting and decided that I was going to sue the my own federal government, the Clinton administration, no less. And you know what? That gives me the dubious honor of being about one of the only people ever to sue the Clintons and live to tell about it. So
that's an interesting point. Now, this is basically a reaffirmation of the anti-commandeering doctrine. Is that how you argued the case?
Yeah. In fact, our case is known as the anti-commandeering case, but it goes much further than that. And let me explain that right now. It talks about what we're doing today to destroy liberty, what our government is doing to us, especially these governors full of little Hitlers and become these very mean dictators. And so this decision says, quote, "But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions." And if we could get every citizen to just focus on that one line, that one sentence from the case, but there's many others that are very powerful. I don't think there's too many more powerful statements from any Supreme Court decision in the history of our country than that right there. The Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. And then he goes on and he says, it protects us from the crisis of the day, end quote. Tom, the crisis of the day, which would pretty much defeat anything these governors are throwing at us and some mayors. And it is just astonishing to me how we think, how these communist dictators in America think that they can come to us and suspend our liberty, suspend the Constitution, violate their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution, all in the name of, but it's for your own good. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Every communist dictator in the 20th century said the same thing before they committed mass genocides of their own people.
Now let's get into what's going on today. Obviously, what's going on today, I could barely have imagined it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I know that in our dystopian moments, we speculate about how things could be someday, but I don't think any of us imagined that we'd be told that our kids can't play with each other, that I can't get in my car, as in Michigan, I cannot get in my car and drive from one property I own to another property I own. I can't do that. This is for health reasons, they say. And no doubt you can find some people who have not entirely lost their minds who think that for health reasons, we do need to take some kind of reasonable precautions. But
I agree with that.
What's happening?
I agree.
But what's happening here?
But they cannot be forced.
And not to mention, we can't get a straight answer from anybody as to when it stops. Yeah, they've got their plans with phase one and phase two and this and that. But really, it's the goalposts keep changing. What the goal is keeps changing. Now it's like they want to suppress the virus altogether by having everybody stay in their house. Nobody can give us a straight answer as to when we get our lives back. And some of them, quite ominously, are saying, well, you're probably not going to really get your lives back until we have a vaccine, which basically means never.
Right.
And I think there are some people who think, well, then in that case, I guess this means the world has become marginally more dangerous. I'll have to factor that into my calculations in living my life. But I don't know what else to do at this point. So meanwhile, so now you got sheriffs. Tell me about some of the sheriffs out there, especially if there are people you know personally,
yes,
who have been reacting to this and how they've been reacting.
Yes, and probably the most recent one I know the best, even though there's others of these sheriffs, Sheriff Reams in Colorado and Sheriff Forney and in California, for heaven's sakes. California has some great sheriffs. And Tom, even New York has some great sheriffs that have stood against Governor Cuomo. Sheriff Carpinelli, Mike Carpinelli in New York, is one of our good constitutional sheriffs. And he really is a fan of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And by the way, anybody everybody listening can become a member of the CSPOA, CSPOA.org. And it's a citizen organization as well as sheriffs and peace officers, because they work for you. You hire the sheriff. He is answerable only to you. You are his only supervisor. And that's an amazing principle and tenet of our constitutional republic. Our public officials answer to you. The sheriff answers to the people. And so then we have also, and what I wrote is a tale of two sheriffs, a metaphor a little bit and takeoff of a tale of two cities. And so I tell about Sheriff Nichols in Franklin County, Maine, who told his governor, "I will not make our county a police state. I will not act like or have my deputies act like Nazis. We will follow the Constitution." Wow, a constitutional sheriff. Amazing. On the other hand, the opposite happened in Florida, where Sheriff Chronister arrested a minister for conducting church services, even though he did so very carefully. And within the guidelines, almost 98% of the guidelines that the CDC has recommended and President Trump has recommended. And we applaud President Trump for keeping these guidelines, as he has said numerous times. These are guidelines. They're not orders. It's not martial law. You're not going to be arrested. But then the states are arresting people. And for what you said, and even worse, arresting people or prohibiting the purchase of vegetable seeds in Michigan. How ridiculous. Can you get any more communistic? So now we have sheriffs that are actually standing their ground and saying, this is still America, and we're going to stand firm. Sheriff Chronister arrested the minister for conducting church. He was actually handcuffed, hauled off, photographed, fingerprinted, and then released on a $500 bail. Ridiculous. Anyway, I want to ask everybody in America, of these two sheriffs, which one do you hope is in your county? The one that'll go along with anything that he's told by any governor or mayor, and that he will enforce any laws or rules or orders. Many of these are not laws. They're just orders from a capricious governor. And this really has me scared, Tom, because if we don't have more sheriffs standing and holding the ground on liberty, what's going to happen when Fauci's prediction comes true in December or January, and this is worse? What are they going to do then? Really shut us down, put us all back on home arrest, take away our cars, put fences around our homes and our communities, have the drones flying over us, checking on our homes, checking on our children, grandchildren, draining our swimming pools, locking down the tennis courts? Tom, we have got to take America back. Yes, I'm worried, concerned, and sometimes even scared about the coronavirus, but I am absolutely mortified by the destruction of America and our goal and our rules of liberty and the rule of law. That's what I wanted to say. The rule of law that exists here, equality and fairness. And I thought we were supposed to be all equally protected under the law. And yet some do, some don't. And it is just like you said, oh my goodness, we don't know who to believe, what to believe. They move the goalposts every day. Is a breathing mask good, bad, or indifferent? And do we? I mean, they can't even agree on that. But there's one thing we should all agree on, Tom. You would think that America, that we would have every public official and citizen in this country agree that we will hold sacred the principle of freedom of religion. And we can't even do that right now.
Can you talk to me about what's going on in your state of Arizona? Because I just read the other day that there are at least three sheriffs in Arizona that are refusing in one way or another to comply with this or that directive.
Yeah, they've had no deaths in their counties, and they're wondering why they have to shut down all their healthy people. And like I said, Sheriff Lamb came out, and yes, there's more. Yeah, he did it, and then two others joined in with him. There's only three counties where there's had where 80% of all the deaths have occurred here in Arizona. And so the rest of them are relatively safe. And a guy at a rally this morning that I went to at the state capitol said he was a doctor. And he said the likelihood of you dying of coronavirus is 0.01 to 2, not 1 to 2%, but 100th of a percent. 99% of the time, you're not going to die. You're not going to die of coronavirus. The likelihood of you getting it and then dying of it is less than 0.02%. So it's really absurd how we're destroying America for this. And if they had come to us and said, if the governor of Arizona had asked us to cooperate, it would be one thing. But to threaten us with jail the way he did, no way.
Well, let me ask, I think, what would be the obvious question to a lot of people. What, if anything, can be done to a sheriff who refuses to carry out the orders of the governor?
Not a damn thing. He reports to the people. He has no other supervisor. He's protecting the rights of the people. Tom, since I've been doing this, and you were there at the beginning with us, we've been doing this Constitutional Sheriff Association now for over 10 years. We have had hundreds of sheriffs, one way or another, stand for liberty and stand against government. Sometimes it's been against the federal government. Usually it was. Sometimes it's been against local and state government officials. And every single time, the sheriff has won. Even in the case of Sheriff Finch in Liberty County, Florida, he actually got arrested for defending a citizen in his county on a gun-related charge. He took it to court, and he won. He was found not guilty. Then he sued, and he won that also. So in the end, every single time a sheriff has stood and done something like this, we have won 100%. Yes, Sheriff of Nick Finch had to jump over some hurdles that most of them didn't have to do. Nobody else has been arrested. Nobody else has been removed from office or anything like that. And the sheriffs win. So I go back to the same question. Which sheriff do you want? One that will stand and defend your liberty, or one that will arrest your minister for having church? Or how about the one who arrested a citizen for opening their business, or somebody, the mother who was playing at the park in Idaho, or the child simply playing with a neighbor? And they're almost trying to make this where they're going to remove the child from the home because the parents are neglecting their child or actually putting them in a dangerous situation. I'm telling you, Tom, it really amazes me how stupid some of these cops can be in enforcing stupid laws, which Edmund Burke said, the enforcement of stupid laws is the essence of tyranny. And boy, do we have the essence of tyranny in America today.
All right, I have a thought experiment for you, Sheriff Mack, in which you're still sheriff. Okay, and well, in fact, I'm going to lay this out in just a minute after we have a brief message from our sponsor. Folks, there are things we look back on and say to ourselves, how did I get that so wrong? Like, for example, getting that interest-only mortgage at the top of the housing bubble, you know, let's say around 2005. Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that. Well, we're always going to get things wrong. That's just life. But there are also things we can get right on the first try. And one of those is shopping for life insurance. And that's where Policy Genius comes in. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. The old man here has used it, and it couldn't be easier. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy, they can also help you find the right home and auto insurance and even disability insurance. So even if you look back on that no-doc mortgage in distress, you'll never be distressed about life insurance with Policy Genius. In just a few minutes, you can find your best price and apply at policygenius.com. We all get things wrong from time to time. At least we can get life insurance right with Policy Genius. Let's run a little thought experiment here. Suppose Richard Mack is Sheriff Mack back from the 1990s, and the crisis hit back then. What would be different about the way you would carry out your duties as sheriff as compared to how they would have been 3 weeks earlier when no one even heard of the virus?
Well, it is a dichotomy, and I hope that I would have taken a measured approach. I would have been on the side of trying the measures to be safe, and encouraging people and reasoning with people, but I would not be forcing people to do any of this. We would not be running roadblocks. We would not be going and running into parks and chasing after people and arresting mothers and any of that. People would still be protected in their liberties, especially churches. And if people want to take that risk themselves, so be it. We take risks every day on the road. We kill 33,000 Americans every year just in traffic accidents. And half of those are caused by alcohol. We don't make alcohol illegal again. We don't get rid of cars. We do the best we can to enforce it and to prevent them. 33,000 people, despite all our efforts, die every year. And I hate death. I do, especially wasteful death. What about all the people who die from obesity or from smoking or from heart failure? And that's over 1 million people every year. We're not going to even come close to that on these coronavirus deaths. And yet, why this overreaction and why the destruction of our country?
But the problem is, heart disease, all these other things are not contagious. This thing's highly contagious. So therefore, if we can contain it, I mean, I don't need to talk to you like you're seven. You know the arguments.
Of course.
That's what they're going to come back at you with. It's highly contagious.
I'm going to go back to your other comment. They keep changing that around, too. I've talked to Dr. Shiva personally. I've watched Dr. Butters on the news, Dr. Stephen Smith, many others, and another doctor who said, we're doing exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. He said, we need herd immunity, and it doesn't happen with people locking themselves down. And actually quarantining healthy people, Tom, that is unprecedented, and it's never happened before, and it should not be happening now.
I read something very interesting recently. It was back in January. I guess there was a paper on the subject of whether people exhibiting no symptoms, but who would have tested positive for the virus, but were exhibiting no symptoms, whether those people could transmit the virus to somebody else, where they're showing no symptoms. And this paper, I guess out of China, made it seem as if, yes, that was happening. And Dr. Fauci said, well, I've read the paper and it's no doubt about it. Asymptomatic people are definitely transmitting the virus. Well, then by early February, it was clear that that's all kinds of problems with that paper. And now the World Health Organization is saying the chances of you getting this virus from a person showing no symptoms are very low.
Yeah.
But most of this lockdown has been predicated on the idea that any of us equally are likely to transmit it to anybody. But even the World Health Organization is saying it's very unlikely that if you're not showing symptoms, you're actually passing it on to your grandmother and killing her.
Now, there's some criminals at WHO. And I'll tell you honestly, too, what Dr. Shiva said about Fauci. He said Dr. Fauci should be arrested. And he's a very legitimate and credible person. And he said that Fauci has done things on this whole thing that are not just wrong and immoral, but criminal. And I don't trust Fauci at all. There's some good people there. I wish that Dr. Stephen Smith was Trump's advisor on that. Be that as it may, we're getting conflicting information from every doctor from around the country. And we had a doctor that spoke at our rally today. And boy, he was really upset with Fauci and what's going on. And then a nurse spoke. And both of them said, our hospitals are emptying and they're going bankrupt here in the Phoenix area. They're not filling up the beds, and other people who have other sicknesses don't want to go in there because they're afraid of getting it from the other patients in there. And so they're laying off doctors and nurses and physician assistants at an alarming rate. And so none of this ends up making any sense, Tom. And so I say, put freedom back. Liberty first in America, and we'll fight this thing together as Americans. But don't force me into the jail of my own home, and don't force me into seclusion, and don't force everybody into this suicide rate that now is superseding the coronavirus deaths. Don't force us into this. Trust us and ask us to help, reason with us and persuade us, but don't force us anymore.
Well, as I say, particularly when they won't really tell us, either they won't tell us what the metrics are they're looking at that will tell them when we can have our lives back, mm-hmm. or more than that, the metrics are absurd. Like, we have to wait until what? How few cases or what numbers do we have to see? Sometimes the metrics, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't reach that for a year. I don't know what. And so what are we supposed to do in the meantime? So it's the arbitrariness of all of it that we can't even really get straight, consistent answers.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And while you were saying that, I thought of Things That Survived in America. And do you remember the movie with Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Oh, yeah, me too. Well, remember James Earl Jones was saying that thing, and he said, listen, Ray, baseball has survived. It survived two world wars. It survived the Great Depression. Well, it looks like James Earl Jones is going to have to change that now, because baseball is not surviving this. And it's because of our government, not coronavirus. It looks like corruption is still the main virus that affects America the most.
Well, let's talk more about sheriffs in particular here, because I think most Americans don't realize the role that the sheriff plays and can play. Now, you have this Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, which I've spoken before. We had over 100 sheriffs in the room one time out in Las Vegas, and I gave them a rip-roaring talk. Holy. You know, at your behest, you wanted it to be rip-roaring. That's what they got.
It was great.
And thank you. Thank you. In fact, you know what? Why don't I put my – on the show notes page, I'll put that speech that I gave.
Boy, you should. Yes, I love that speech.
CSPOA event. Yeah, I'll put that there. People can listen to that. But anyway, obviously not all sheriffs agree with you, but some of them do. So I'm curious, what is the role of your organization? Is it to educate sheriffs about what they can do with their powers?
Yes, and it's to educate them what powers they have. Some of them don't realize their power, but they do. They are the ultimate law enforcement officer in that county. He's not a bureaucrat. The chief of police appointed. He's a bureaucrat. He answers to the town manager, to the mayor, city council. The sheriff is elected by, for, and of the people. The people bestow all power. I know we don't get that here, but the people in America bestow all power and authority upon our public servants. The reason the sheriff is so powerful is because he answers only to the power source, we the people. The first three words of the Constitution. We are the most integral part of American government. We tell our public officials what they can do. We give them the authority. We give the sheriff the power to carry a gun and a badge. We bestow that upon him. Then he serves us, and every 4 years, we determine if we want to keep him. And therein lies the constitutional republic we all agreed to be a part of. And yes, we train sheriffs to do this. We train them in their duty and responsibility, their oath of office. And yes, I love how many sheriffs are standing. And I want to ask what you asked to every sheriff. And we're trying to do that right now. Which sheriff are you? Which one should you be? Which one do your people deserve? Sheriff Nichols in Maine or Sheriff Chronister in Florida? And maybe I should stop using his name, because I think Sheriff Chronister is actually a pretty decent individual. He's just on the wrong track. We would love for him to repent and change and apologize to Pastor Rodney Howard Brown and say, no, I will protect you from now on. I missed the call. I was remiss in my duty. I will not do that again. We hope to bring that out to them also, because Martin Luther King said we should all obey just laws. Conversely, none of us have a duty to obey. All of us have a duty to disobey unjust laws. And so certainly, if we have a duty not to obey unjust laws, none of us, especially sheriffs who are here to serve the people and protect their God-given rights, none of us have a duty to enforce unjust laws, unconstitutional laws. Well, only the Supreme Court can decide that. You took the oath, sheriff. You promised in God's name to uphold and defend the Constitution. You cannot abdicate that right to anyone else, or that responsibility to anyone else. It's yours and yours alone. And you must decide, and you must stand for liberty. And I wish that everyone would understand. And this is what we do at the CSPOA. And that's why we want all of your listeners to join. Become a member today. Get this book. It talks about the Supreme Court decision where it says, but the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. Everybody needs to get that. Get that out there. And my heavens, you might just help us create a constitutional sheriff in your county, because that's what we are about 24/7. And it's really starting to take off and people are starting to wake up.
One final thing. What about the problem that in a lot of these places, it seems as if the polling is to be believed, the people are demanding the lockdowns. They seem to support it. Yeah. Now, some of the sheriffs you're talking about are in parts of the country where it makes even less sense to be doing this because it just doesn't match what they're observing on the ground health-wise.
Right.
But what would you do as a sheriff if you're sheriff of a part of a state where everybody wants you to enforce the lockdowns? Do you just tell them they're wrong?
And no one's going to force you. If a majority of the people want to stay in their homes, go ahead. If that makes you feel comfortable, we certainly hope you're taking care of your elderly parents or anyone else in your neighborhood, checking on elderly people who might be living alone. Call us. We'll come check on them. But for the people who are now unemployed, for the businesses that have been shut down, people's lifetime dreams and goals and aspirations are now being destroyed. Some people are facing foreclosure and bankruptcy because they've been unemployed so long and that their businesses have been shut down. Can you imagine putting a law-abiding citizen in such a predicament? These sheriffs have got to wake up. Our peace officers, don't do that. Don't take them to jail. Here they're so desperate to make a little money and pay their bills and help their kids. And you want to go arrest them for that? Talk about the antithesis of the American dream. Come on, officers. Come on, sheriffs. We can't do that to people here. This is America. So, yeah, if people feel better and think they ought to stay in longer, I would still try to get the right information to them. But I'm not going to force them in or out. This is America. Go about your lives. Be careful. If you feel like wearing a mask, wear a mask. But we're not going to shut businesses down because they are now open for doing my wife's nails. Okay? I'm not going to go shut them down. And I hope nobody else does either. A tyrant would do something like that.
Tell people one more time the website and what they should go do with this information.
Okay, you want to take this information to your sheriff, but you need to know it first. Everybody should get a copy of what I call the VSS, the Victory for State Sovereignty. That's a little pocket-sized booklet review of the Supreme Court decision. Then get a copy of The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, great book to give your favorite cop, or The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. Get that to your favorite sheriff or deputy sheriff. And then another book, there's about seven on there. Are You a David? And man, you got to check that book out. But all of it's available, CSPOA.org. Stands for Constitutional Sheriffs, Peace Officers Association, CSPOA. Everybody can become a member and everybody can help us with this holy cause of liberty.
Well, Sheriff Mack, I appreciate your time and your efforts and the work you've done as sheriff and as an educator I guess you also educate young people, but you educate sheriffs. And man, could we use that right about now. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom. Always good to be with you.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for today. Now, tomorrow, Dave Smith comes back to the show. We're going to talk about Justin Amash, congressman from Michigan, who has announced his intention, he's forming an exploratory committee to run for president, but I think we all know what that means. So Dave and I are going to talk about that. So make sure you tune in, subscribe to the show, tomwoods.com/apple. And if you like and appreciate what's being done around these parts, and you'd like to join a group of people where you can speak your mind without being accused of wanting to kill your grandmother, then head over to supportinglisteners.com and warm my heart. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.